Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 8, Episode 40. We have a guest on this week's episode, and his name is Casper Kelly. More on that in a bit. Would you like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member? All you got to do is go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And if you sign up at any level, you'll have access to our weekly Patreon-only show where we just kind of shoot the shit and talk about what we want, kind of figure it out as we go.
It's totally uncensored, though.
It is absolutely uncensored, unlike this show where we bleep all the fucking shit. you know, sign up. And if you sign up at the $25 level, of course, you can become a producer and have your name on the show. And we give you a shout out and a thank you every single week on the program. And you also get a drawing, a doodle from Tim, and it's a digital drawing. You can either get one printed out that I've already done, or I'll do one special for you. So, without lingering, thank you to our executive producers, Tim Slayton, Brian and Chelsea Smith, Jeff Peterson, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Kevin Jackson, Mike D, and Matt Carter. Thank you all very, very much. Speaking of Patreon, you know, we're doing a live show. We're going to be taping a live show at Atlanta Pizza and Euro in Conyers on October 22nd. That is a Sunday. It's our Halloween party. We're going to be there 1 p.m. for patrons. You guys can come in and hang out with us. 2 p.m. for everybody else. But don't worry. I mean, you can come in. You're still going to get to watch the show. We're going to have a raffle. We have all sorts of good things. Let's see. What do we have so far? Well, we're going to have complimentary passes for people to go see Five Nights at Freddy. That movie's coming out. And the screening is October 25th, so you got to be ready to go right away. We have some cool metal pop culture signs, courtesy of Brett Perkins. We're going to be taking pictures with Redbox. We'll have items raffling to give away. Steph is donating her Frog Brothers. What are they called? Funko Pops.
Yes, and they are limited edition. They're going for 100 and up right now on the Amazon and eBay and whatnot.
Right, and they're not going to be for the raffle. They'll be for the costume contest. If you wear a costume, you'll get, you know, we'll do a little contest. And we'll talk to you during the show. It'll be a lot of fun. So make sure you go out there. And plus, the food is really good, and you got money.
Bring a dessert.
Yeah, bring a dessert if you like. And if you make it yourself, even better, because we're going to eat the heck out of that stuff. Anything else I forgot? Oh, please remember to rate, review, and like us wherever you listen to the show or watch the show. If you watch on YouTube, which is what we prefer, please comment anything you want. Comment away. And if they're good, we'll read them because we want to start doing that more. We just don't get enough. So if you guys want to comment, fight, whatever, we don't care. But put those comments in the YouTube and make sure that you like every episode and subscribe if you're not subscribed. And of course, if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes or whatever, rate and review us. Again, if they're good and funny, we'll absolutely read them. Well, why do we have Casper Kelly on the show this week, Jeff? Why don't you tell everyone?
He's promoting the Very Short Treks, which are all out now on YouTube.
And Very Short Treks are?
They're little animated episodes of Star Trek that is in the style of the Star Trek, the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the voices of a bunch of the cast of various Star Trek projects and some comedians. And
Casper Kelly, we've had on the program before. He is the bizarre brain behind Too Many Cooks, which is a super fantastic, amazing video that was done in 2014. And also Yule Log, which is a holiday tradition in my house now. And he's been involved with Adult Swim, lots of different projects, Squidbillies. And he's just a very funny and very nice guy. So why don't we talk to him now? Thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, I'm happy to always. I'm gunning to be the Steve Martin of your SNL.
How many now compared to Dave? We have to get that. We have to.
He's got me beat. I think I'm still young. I still do it.
But you are a very busy person, and we'll just before we get going, we do really want to find out what your take is on this whole crisis. And no, we're kidding. We're not going to bring it.
Yeah. Very sad what's going on.
It is extremely sad. And yeah, so but when you're not I'm sorry I even brought it up. No, I'm going to
bring the house down.
Oh my gosh, we are talking about very short treks, which, by the way, is one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. I love how you've done it. And so let's talk about it, if you don't mind. Can you?
I'm happy to.
All right.
I mean, I really prepared more for the horrible Hamas attack, but I can.
How did you get involved with Star Trek? And I mean, this is using their stuff, using their voices and stuff. So that's pretty neat, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to work with a lot of my heroes, and that was super exciting. But basically, Alex Kurtzman at Secret Hideout, who wrote the Star Trek reboot and sort of is steering the franchise now, watched Mandy and Cheddar Goblin and was inspired to have me do a Tribbles serial commercial, a dark Tribbles serial commercial for Short Treks. And then a couple of years later, he enlisted me to do very short treks to honor the 50-year anniversary of the animated series and also just have a little fun.
I like how when you're doing the original series, you keep it to the original series animated show, the same look, the same feel. I think that's incredible.
Yeah, and it was done with also incorporated was the animation company. And they're fantastic. And they had so many details figured out, like how the cells wouldn't lay flat on the background. So there'd be a little shadow around the cells. And just, or if an arm was going to move, it might be a slightly different color when it moves because it was done on a different day. They did all those little touches that made it feel real. It wasn't just adding a couple of scratches on the top. No. And they really went deep and it shows, I think. It was a really made with love from them.
We had Henry Zebrowski on a couple weeks ago to talk about this thing he's doing tonight in Atlanta. But he was talking about his comic book that he did. And he was saying that they wanted to have Superman in the comic book. And he said DC gave them basically a Bible of the rules that you have to use if you're going to use Superman. And then he was like, this means we can't use Superman.
But he's never going to read that Bible.
Right.
But it seems like there was no rule book for you. You don't have to follow the Prime Directive or anything as far as the rules of Star Trek for these very short treks.
Yeah, I did have readers that work with Star Trek and know it well. And also, I hired two outside writers, Claire Friedman and Aaron Walke. And Aaron Walke writes for wrote for Star Trek Prodigy and knows the franchise inside and out. But basically, the mandate was to, in general, try to appeal to non-Star Trek fans or a casual Star Trek fan and not be so loaded with references or, you know, in jokes, but try to bring in outside people. We did do some in jokes, of course, but that's what we tried to do, is just something that a casual fan could enjoy.
Well, a deep fan of Star Trek or a casual fan of Star Trek, how could you not enjoy and laugh your ass off when you're watching these? Jeff sent them to me, I think, 2 weeks ago, and I watched the first one. And because I didn't watch, what's that show called?
Star Trek Lower Decks. Yeah.
I haven't watched that. And everybody says it's really good and I haven't watched it yet. But because I'm sort of a stickler for serious Trek and definitely the Next Generation, but these were just so good. I couldn't stop watching them. So, and I'll watch them again too. But they're funny. They're funny as hell. And
Thank you very much. Did you get to watch all five or have you?
No, I have one more to watch.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is that all five of them are out now?
Yes, all five are out now. Jeff, you're such a completist. Have you seen them all or not yet?
I have seen them all.
Okay.
And I saw the little making of one that came out yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that myself. I need to watch that. It was very thrilling. So, yeah, you talked about Next Generation. It was awesome to work with Jonathan Frakes and Gates McFadden, who are Beverly Crusher and Riker on The Next Generation. And it was a huge thrill to get George Takei, Sulu. And he had to be persuaded. His agent was like, he's not sure. You need to woo him a little. So I wrote him a big fan letter about how important he is to me. And that brought him over. And he's great. I'm glad we got him.
Aw, that's really cool.
He's a real sweetheart.
Casper, I need you to make me feel wanted. Did you reach out to people that said no, or did you not even try, like Shatner?
No, we did. We did. We reached out to a few people who, for various reasons, couldn't do it or wouldn't do it. Usually money. So we didn't have a ton, but I'm very thrilled with who we got.
Well, yeah, Jonathan Frakes seems like a guy who has a really good sense of humor.
Yeah, he was so funny in the session. And as a courtesy, we will send them the art of them, you know, to see it so they can see how they'll look. And he was like, you know, it's fine, but my character is more fun. So give him a little smirk. Don't have such a serious expression. And I'm like, that's a good note. I like it. He's great.
And when did you record all them? Obviously before the strike, but how long did it take to produce these?
I think it started late last year, and it just took forever to negotiate the contract deals. Mm. This is probably more inside baseball than y'all want, but I think just because it is officially from Star Trek, it just feels like, well, they should have some money. And I'm like, yeah, we have a little money, but we're not a show. We're just doing these little fun shorts. So we don't have a ton of money. But yes, so that took a long time, but then we finally recorded them. Oh, and so you haven't seen Lower Decks. Noelle Wells, who does Tendi, is awesome. When I cast her, I didn't even know she could sing. There's a song in the fifth one. Spoiler.
Okay.
I didn't even know she could sing, but the composer, Michael Kohler, was like, why don't we try it? And I researched it, and turns out she has an album, and she's an amazing singer. She kind of makes it look like we know what we're doing. So, yeah.
Wow.
And did Jonathan Frakes play the trombone?
We asked him to, but he didn't want to. I think he was maybe bashful or rusty. And I guess there were some people that usually did it for him on Next Generation, but he was game for pretty much everything else.
Right.
What do you think about the prospects of a second run? More episodes.
I think it's decent. I think the goal is to do something fun every year, but not necessarily in the style of the animated series or even animated, but probably animated, but maybe live action. Just something fun every year for Star Trek is the goal. So we'll see. We'll see if they keep me. I like doing it, so hopefully they'll keep me. But I think that's what they want to do.
You could do live action, too. You've done some fantastic live action stuff. And again, funny, hint of darkness, sometimes outright darkness, but definitely suited for this. I think it's fantastic. And I wanted to ask you about the Writers Guild resolution. Is that something that'll help you move forward, like projects that you've been sitting on that you can get going, or do you have to wait for the actors, too?
I can definitely start writing again, but this is probably boring inside baseball, but I technically could still work on certain animated jobs during the strike that were under a different union. It was kind of up to you whether you wanted to work on it or not. But some animated things are Writers Guild and some are IOTC. So it's confusing. But
I kind of bring it up because it was weird. About 3 weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail from Warner Brothers. I open it up and it's a residuals check for Jacksonville Jackass, which is an episode of Squidbillies. And I'd never in my life received that. So I immediately texted Dave. And he goes, yeah, I got one too. I don't know what this is about. So is that part of the new thing? Or I don't know why. Maybe you don't know either. But
no, I don't think that's because of the strike. I think it just finally, my theory is it finally aired enough that it hit a threshold.
Oh, okay.
For bother to mail you the check, I think. But I was an extra on a couple of YPFs for various reasons. Usually, I am a vain person, but not usually because someone didn't show up. And I get a residual for that sometimes.
Wow.
Or maybe I'm totally misremembering this. But anyway, I had some roles, some small roles on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell that I would get residuals. And it's such a dopamine hit, even if it is $3.
Yeah.
You know, it's something. I mean, look, it's free money.
I like the money I got paid for doing the voice projects I've done. But the thing that always is more special to me than the money is, oh, there's my name on a show that I like. So that's always been the thing I like more than, I mean, I like the money. Don't get me wrong. But
no, yeah, totally.
But if you like something and then you're on it that is the coolest thing in the world to me.
Yes, I agree 1,000%. Yes.
I did a voice for an upcoming episode of the new season of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and I got paid for it, and I did it and everything. And I'm great. Okay, this is all great. But until it airs, I'm on pins and needles. And I asked Matt, I go, did I make it in? And he's like, yeah, I believe so. But I still want to text Dave, but then I don't want to text Dave. I just want to see it. And it, because I'm like, this is so awesome. So anyway, I'm a dork. Whatever.
Well, I've heard many stories of people who are cast in movies, and then opening night, they bring their family to go see the movie opening night, and no one bothered to tell them that they were completely cut out of the movie. So I understand you don't, not until it airs, not until it's shown, do you want to celebrate. And now with shows getting removed, even then you can't really celebrate. It could get all taken away.
Right.
Just wanted to mention that there's also comic books for very short tracks, right?
Yes. I did it with IDW. We wrote more scripts than we needed. We did 5 shorts and we wrote 10 scripts. And they're like, we're going to do a comic. Why don't you just do those other 5 scripts in the comic book? And I'm like, are you kidding? I've always dreamed of doing a comic book. I'm going to write something new for that.
Yeah.
Which I did. And it was harder than I thought it would be. You would think it would translate from writing TV and movies to comics, but it is different. So, but it was a fun challenge. Have you guys seen that yet? Jeff, you've probably seen it.
I have.
You're the researcher of this group.
Yeah.
Just come in half-cocked, unprepared.
Are they available at a comic book shop?
I think it's available digitally.
Yeah, they're digital.
Jeff, you could back me up. And then if for anybody, and then they did release some copies, print copies at New York Comic Con, I think. Hopefully that's not a spoiler.
Oh, boy, I bet you if you went on eBay, they're probably like super expensive.
You could get them on
probably tens of dollars, yes.
I do feel like you could, Casper, if you took just a regular episode of like New Generation and with AI now, and you just scripted it however you wanted to.
Oh, and let it.
And don't change anything else, but just completely change the script. I would love to see what you would do with it.
Well, that's a whole other thing, AI. There's a bunch of rules now after the strike, but yeah. AI,
that's one of them.
Have you guys played around with AI?
I have a little bit, yeah.
Pretty interesting.
The image generators, although still, I don't know that I'm able to detect everything, but there's still something to me that's more special of something that is drawn by a human being or painted by a human being or written. Obviously, I can't detect something written, but the art I can sort of still tell. You know, it's too clean in some places, but that'll all go away in the next 5 years and you won't be able to know the difference. But I do like that idea of something that is created by a human being having the humanity in it.
It is scary. I don't know what's going to become of it. But one thing that has me sort of excited is that, like, Pixar animation takes a huge team to do that properly.
Right.
And I want all those people to have jobs. But it is interesting that we might have a situation where one weirdo with a cult movie idea could make an animated movie of Pixar quality, potentially. That would be cool. It would be fun to see those movies that like a couple of weirdos make that ordinarily would not be possible, but is now possible. But I don't want other people to lose their jobs and everything. And I don't know, knock on wood, hopefully they won't. But it could be interesting for just real outlier art, you know.
Like an indie Pixar movie.
Yes, Pixar movie, yes. Yeah. Which is not really possible right now. And probably they're going to be able to do live action. It feels like it's all coming.
Yeah.
Hey, can I say, I'm not good at predicting anything, but I am very surprised that AI creating art that good and driverless cars came before like a robot butler that could dust. Like it's feels like that would be easier to figure out than this other stuff. And yet we still don't have someone to dust for us. And I don't know why that is. Like, it feels like a car that can drive itself. How did that get invented first? That seems like 20 years from now. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, you got a Roomba that falls down the stairs or gets stuck on a carpet that's uneven. Yeah, so you're right.
The Roomba just bounces. I have a Roomba. They're great, but that's just a random. That's just randomly bounces around. That's not.
Better.
Yeah, they don't even have the hammer that straightens out bacon yet.
No. Oh, I remember that.
Where's our bacon hammers?
In the mother-in-law suite. Or the mother-in-law.
I'm waiting for my home dentist.
Do you have anything that you're able to talk about now or working on now that you want to plug? Well, or
I didn't do the comic justice. Jeff, have you read it yet? Have you read the whole thing?
No, I just saw today that I was able to put them in my cart on Amazon, and I had a bunch of stuff in there that I needed to take out before I could check out, so I haven't finished that transaction.
I promised contributors copies, and I'll happily give you one as well. It is also featuring the original Star Trek crew, and they are on the trail of this mad scientist who believes that reality is a TV show, a cartoon from the 70s on 20th Century Earth. He believes they're in a cartoon, and things go crazy from there. And for a while, they end up in, spoiler, they end up in my version of Archie Comics.
Oh, God.
Sliding around in other comic book realms. So they end up in Archie Comics for a while and get involved with Betsy and Verona. I had a lot of fun writing it. And it's called The Shimer Barrier, which is a little nod to Shimer, who was the Filmation CEO. But yeah, I'm working on some movies. I don't know what I can talk about. I got some pilots and some movies, and I'm working away, slaving away. I'm excited. It's a good life. I like being here in Atlanta. I like knowing you guys. I want to have dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do it. Still outstanding.
I'm there. You just say it. We'll all hook up and do it for sure.
All right. I know I'm the guest, so I shouldn't be asking the questions, but what is y'all's relation to Star Trek, and like, what's one of your favorite characters or episodes?
I'm a next gener. I loved Q is probably my favorite character, and he was just a recurring character, but I loved Q. He was my favorite.
A quick side note is Star Trek Next Generation was one of the only shows that let you pitch to them even if you didn't have an agent. So I pitched to them when I was still in college, and they did not use my ideas. But my friend's little brother, who was like a freshman in high school still, pitched an idea to them, and they used it, and they paid him, and they put his name in the credits. And the idea he had, which was pretty great, was a young Q, not Q, but a young person of that race, who doesn't realize he's developing those powers. Do you remember that episode? It's a young person who becomes friends with Wesley and then starts realizing they have Q powers, and Q has to come in and take him under his wing. So yeah.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
My favorite is Shaka when the walls fell, Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
That's a good one.
Yes, that's the episode with the metaphors.
Yes, and Paul Winfield,
great
alien. And I love that Paul Winfield plays the late great Paul Winfield plays that alien character, but he's also in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, wait, he is?
Yes, he's the guy that goes with Chekhov to Botany Bay when Khan comes up.
Shatner came to town for a screening of Wrath of Khan, and I had a blast. He is so sharp and funny and just held the audience in the palm of his hand for an hour and a half.
I bet.
By himself. After the movie.
When he's like 100 and he went to space, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when he landed, it got him talking to the reporter about the experience of going into space got ruined by Jeffrey Bezos' girlfriend popping open a bottle of champagne and blabbing. I want to hear Shatner.
I'm kind of jealous because I am not 100 and I'm waking up going, oh, I got to do this shit again.
Yeah.
I'm envious.
I like all Star Trek. I think the final season of Picard was really good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I liked all the seasons, though, but 3 was really outstanding.
There's some Picard references in the comic. Hopefully you'll enjoy from that show.
Dustin hates Star Trek, so don't even have it. No, my favorite episode of the original series was, I can't remember the name of it now, but it's the one where they go to the planet and they're in like 1920s gangster New York or Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great one. But my favorite character
out of the whole universe is probably Otto or Odo from Deep Space Nine. It was Rene Auberjonois. From Benson. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a great character. I always love his voice. He does a lot of audiobook, or did a lot of audiobook narration, and always something about his voice was just, anything he did just sounds great. Yeah.
What an interesting career he had. He's also in one of my favorite movies, Nashville, the rock movie. Yeah.
That's right.
That's quite a spectrum he's on.
And to play that snooty, administrative character on Benson for all those years, that's where he, to me, until Deep Space came out, that was him. I mean, for me, totally, that was him, you know, and everything.
No, it's so weird when someone does a role that well, you just think in real life they're that way.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I knew the Barney Miller show before I knew The Godfather. So, you know, Abe Vigoda was Fish, not Clemenza. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And he wasn't Clemenza, he was Tessio, so I just had to correct myself.
Dustin, was your Star Trek The City on the Edge of Forever?
Yes.
The one with Joan Collins?
Yeah.
That's a great one. Yeah.
Arlen Ellison wrote that one, I think.
I feel like you should have your own podcast, Casper.
You know, I've been thinking about it. It's funny you brought that up. There are people that because I love podcasts. I shouldn't say this. If I had to give up movies, TV, or podcasts, podcasts might be the last. I love podcasts. And there's a bunch of people that I want to hear an interview with that I can't find one. So I was thinking maybe I should start a podcast to interview people where I can't find interviews with them. But yeah, anyway, it would be fun.
That's a good idea.
I have to get some tips from y'all.
No, we know nothing. We just slog on and do our labor of love. Do you listen to the absurdist ones? Like, have you heard of Dudesy?
No.
It's Chad Colchin and Will Sasso. And
Will Sasso is hilarious.
And they have the AI write the entire thing for them, and the AI communicates with them, and it generates fake commercials for Will to read in his impressionist voices. So, I mean, it's absurd. It's funny. It's off the wall. I used to listen to, you know, political things. I can't do it anymore. So I listen to that. And I listen to the Harlan Highway, anything that's absurd, or if it's an interview with somebody that I really like, you know. But the more absurd and out there, the better for me. I want to laugh. I'm tired of thinking of serious things.
Yes, so you need a balance. Yes.
I don't like politics, but I love Sword and Scale. It never gets old. It's a fresh murder every week.
Yes.
Sword and Scale?
Yes.
Is it true or is it fictional?
Oh, no, it's very true. They play the 911 calls, and it's the narrator, he's so on the fringe of politically correct that they basically threw him off of Patreon. And he has his own thing so he can just say whatever the hell he wants. So it's really good, though. But it's Mike Boudet or whatever is the host name. But he's what makes it, because he makes little comments after they play little clips and stuff. So, yeah, Sword and Scale. There's 250 episodes, Casper.
Oh, my God.
Get started right now.
I need to hop back on, but I would listen to Last Podcast on the Left, and they... This is a long time ago. They had an episode about the toy box killer, and and I think it's Henry who's reading the, like, a woman gets captured and she wakes up chained up, and they play a video monologue from the killer, like, here's what's going to happen to you. So Henry is reading that, and I just start getting vertigo. Like, I can't.
And it's so bad.
911 calls, and it's like, I can't do this right now. So I chickened out. Especially the 911. It's weird to me that 911 calls are public. Like, such an intimate, personal. I mean, I understand it for a trial, but why? It's, you know. Anyway,
I think that's when they get them. That have been captured. They're in jail now, or they're dead. One of the two. So I guess that's why they get them or whatever. But that toolbox. Killer toy that was a horrible story. Last podcast is the only one that could make that funny.
You had Pete Holmes as one of your voices on very short tracks. Do you listen to his podcast?
I do, yeah. And he was on one of the Your Pretty Face. Well, he was on a cartoon, the Your Pretty Face cartoon as an angel. I just really liked his stand up and crashing. And I like him. Yes, You Made It Weird. It's a good podcast.
Yeah.
Crashing was over way too soon. I loved that show.
Canceled way too soon.
It was, but it ended perfectly. So it's a tough call. It was fat. I loved it too. I think it could have gone longer, but it did end so well. I agree.
Sometimes shows don't do that, and that one did. I mean, it's rare for a show to do a short run, a couple of seasons, and then just say, okay, I'm done, and have it be good.
Yeah.
Unless you're Danny McBride.
There.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think there'll ever be any more Squidbillies?
Never say never. I mean, they canceled Aqua Teen, and then it came back, so.
Right.
You never know.
Are you a Venture Brothers fan?
Yes.
Did you like the movie?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm a terrible fan. Uh-huh. I've done everything.
I saw it and then rewatched every episode and then watched it again because I'm a dork, and that's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yes.
That's another show I wish wouldn't end, but I guess they have to end. Stop ending the things I like.
Yes. Well, maybe AI will come to the rescue and create new episodes for you.
I don't think those guys would allow that because they were sticklers for everything being traditional cell animation, as far as I know.
Oh no, it'll be just you in your home with a couple of computers making yourself homegrown, like making your own, brewing your own a beer with some yeast and
craft animation. Yeah.
All right. I want Dr. Mrs. the Monarch naked the entire episode. There. That ain't going to happen.
Oh, it's totally happening right now.
Oh, I'll draw a computer.
I'm sure. Yeah. There's never a second where AI is not generating a naked Dr. Monarch.
Have you ever heard of Rule 34?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I have.
I'm going to do it.
The rules of gravity will be broken before that.
If you're not familiar with Rule 34 out there in the audience, the basic premise of that is if it exists, there's pornography of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And there is, unfortunately. And that started as soon as the internet came around. Oh, look, Bart said, oh, no.
Between that and fan fiction, you could really screw up someone's idea of their childhood.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, when you're on a work computer, don't type in Rule 34, Dr. Girlfriend.
HR is going to be calling Tim tomorrow.
We don't have HR. It's called People Solutions now.
Do they outsource? Is that what they call the department? Or do they outsource?
No, they don't outsource. It's just called People Solutions.
We will solve the people.
That's right. Don't even say the words, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
There's a word for that, like word inflation or something where... A term for something gets pejorative because people don't like what the term refers to, so they have to give it a new term.
Right.
Yeah, and HR is a prime candidate for that.
And us old people have to either, all right.
It was personnel. I got to go to personnel.
Yes, personnel. Can I just go to HR?
No. Didn't Carlin do a whole bit on that?
He did and then later.
Yeah, like shell shock and post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yeah, it's how it started out as shell shock and then became. But he's basically, his whole premise was that changing the language pulls the humanity out of it so people don't have to deal with the reality. And makes a good point.
Yeah.
And some people have to go on David Letterperson. Sorry, Steph.
No, you didn't step on anything. I just find that the older I get, the more I like to watch things with the... Things I've watched a million times, I watch them with subtitles on, like a 95-year-old person, just because I feel like I'm watching it again for the first time. There's a lot of stuff you don't pick up on, like you think you heard stuff, and then you see it typed out, and you're like, oh, no shit, that's what they said?
That's what Fred Sanford said to Lamont? You didn't quite understand it?
Get up, dummy.
Big dummy.
I read an article, though, subtitles is not just for old people anymore. I think... young people do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the YouTube generation definitely does. Yeah.
There's even some theory on that that dialogue is not as prominent in the mix as it used to be. So there's a reason we do it.
Well, I could see that. I watched The Lost Boys with the subtitles on last night. It does not help the movie, though.
No.
No, most of the time it hurts the movie because it gives away something that's going to happen like 2 seconds, before it happens. And that's the only problem I ever have with subtitles is it gives, too much of the takes away from the impact of the dialogue.
Also, it seems like every movie, there's always a couple of lines that must have been cut, but somehow are still in the subtitles. Have you noticed this?
Yeah,
they took it out of the mix, but there's still lines. I was like, why? It's kind of weird that they're not more buttoned up about making sure they're the same. But
nobody edited the transcript before before he came in. Yeah, I've seen that a lot, actually.
Well, Casper, let us know where you want to go for dinner, and we'll make it happen.
All right.
Plug anything you'd like. Where people can you if you want them.
I don't have anything to plug. It's after the strikes. It's a rebuilding season, Tim. So, but hopefully, I want to hit it hard next year with a bunch of exciting things coming out. I am on Twitter and Instagram, X or whatever you. I'm probably going to quit Twitter, but while I'm still there, hey Casper Telly, and also on Instagram.
The ads are insane on there now. They're ridiculous. Every thread has an ad in it for something that nobody wants.
I don't know if about social media. It is a great way to meet people. I love interacting with people, but I don't know. Maybe it's not worth it.
I like it for
20. I do still have a Facebook. I haven't checked it in 15 years. So if you send me a message on Facebook, I apologize.
I wrote you 15 years ago, and I'm waiting to hear from you again, Casper Kelly.
It's Kevin Feige. I wanted you to do the Marvel movie. I didn't even reply.
I posted on your MySpace wall, and you never responded.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I check that all the time.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Casper. It's always nice to talk to you.
Very short treks and Star Trek comic book, The Shimer Barrier. And that. Looking forward to dinner with you all, and have a great evening.
All right. Bye, Casper. Bye.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Casper.
Well, that was a lot of fun, right? We love
him.
Yeah, he's great.
So cool.
Love Casper.
Yeah, we gotta go out and have that dinner with him. And it'll be like, we'll record the whole thing. No, we won't do that. It'll be nice.
I asked him if the restaurant that he likes to go to in Tucker is still there. And he rattled off like five different restaurants that he likes to go to.
the one that where I saw him is gone. So.
But he has five other favorite restaurants in Tucker that he likes.
Oh, well, okay. Send that list along and we'll pick one.
There.
And we'll treat him. He doesn't have to pay when we go out. Hey, I want to say thank you to Atlanta Pizza in Gyro, or Gyro, however you want to pronounce it. They're our longest sponsor. And I want to say thank you to Mike Hall and everyone at the restaurant. Fall is here, and we have some new local craft beers for you to enjoy. We don't, but they do. And not one pumpkin spice, which I'm kind of disappointed. Mike made an effort to point out in the commercial that, or in the email with the new copy, that they didn't have pumpkin spice. And you know, what kind of beer season is it without pumpkin spice? But I get it. Not everybody likes pumpkin spice. I like it. It looks like my thing. Now featuring two locally made German-style Märzen beers. I said it right. They have the umlaut over the A, like Motley Crue. They have that on tap. Terrapin Oktoberfest, which I'm sure is delicious, and Dry County Oktoberfest, which I'm sure is also delicious. And I'm back into beer drinking mode, so when I'm out there, and we're out there for our Halloween party, I'll be drinking some of that. Both of these local brews are delicious amber lagers and feature a clean, rich, toasty, and bready malt flavor with a nice dry finish. Atlanta Pizza in Gyro serves up the best freshly made Greek and Italian specialties around in an authentic retro dye pizza place with a come-as-you-are family-friendly atmosphere. Dine-in and takeout available, limited delivery also available through Slice, DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats. And if you're a business or corporate client who is looking to book a food truck for your next private or catered luncheon, please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza in Gyro by calling 770-483-6228. They are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9, Saturday, noon to 9, closed on Sundays. Also, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, what are you waiting for if you have said needs? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia, since 2005, so almost 20 years now. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldi.com. line.com. Oh, do you guys want to do views and snooze real quick and wrap up?
Yeah, you don't want to talk about anything like, about Tom Segura or anything?
Nah, we don't really have a lot of time for that. I mean, Tom Segura got mad because he was inconvenienced and started tweeting a bunch of stupid shit, and then people got mad at him. So
he hates the poors.
Yeah, he hates the poors.
That whole poors bit, he's been doing for about a year and a half.
But people who don't know that.
Right. That was the problem. It was like all of a sudden it busted out of his little circle into like the public, you know, and all of a sudden nobody got the joke at all.
Nobody cares. It'll completely fade away. And Tom Segura will still be one of the top comics in the country, making a lot of money on his podcast with his wife, Amber Kreischer, and all that other stuff. So he can make jokes and no one will care. And it's fine. Mia Khalifa, do you remember her? She was a porn star for like a couple of years. And her hook was that she is from Lebanon, even though she's a Christian. So she's from Lebanon and she would put on hijabs and dress up like a Muslim woman and do porn movies. And of course, that angered people. Some people, other people it excited. Anyway, she left porn and ended up being pseudo celebrity in the sports sphere. I think maybe Barstool or one of those places. But she had all these jobs, social media influencer. Well, she ruined her career by tweeting stuff about Palestine and Israel. And she'd been fired from every place where she worked. So she's no longer affiliated with Playboy or any of the other places. So the lesson from that is, if you want to keep your job in certain areas, why don't you just be quiet? Especially if you're a celebrity and you're making a shitload of money. And I don't mean that as in a threatening way, but if you're making a lot of money, no one's looking for your opinion, you know, porn star.
There's so many celebrities that haven't said anything about it at all. And the world has just went on. It's not necessary.
One of my favorite actors from one of my all-time favorite television shows, Michael Imperioli, is so insufferable on social media that I had to unfollow him. I didn't want to. But he, every day, 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Instagram posts every day, every single day.
And Sarah Silverman, Amy Schumer, this is John Bernthal, you name it. They're all putting this, and I'm just like.
Well, I understand this more than the other thing, like obsessively all day with every single thing that's going on. I get it. You're socially aware and socially conscious. John Bernthal is Jewish. So, I mean, a lot of people who are Jewish, I don't imagine that they have nothing to say about it. So, but I'm just saying that the real annoying stuff, you know, that's what bothers me.
Tim Dillon's post was great though.
Tim Dillon's post was perfect. It summed up everything in a nice little, put a little bow on it. And I loved the way he signed off.
Yeah, it was great.
Concerned celebrity or something like that.
I commented on that because I said, and then they came for the nuances and I said nothing.
Did he like it?
Of course not.
Oh. I got a like from Harlan this week. That made me happy.
Nice.
He had Sherry O'Terry on his preview video on Instagram. I put a big yay and he liked it. And it ended up being a very funny show. Sherry O'Terry, social media anyway, resurgence because she's really funny. She just runs around and does those over the top characters that she does. It was very
enjoyable. I love her so much.
She's on TikTok and Instagram. She's very funny.
No, she used to do the morning show with that guy, and she would always be describing things with her hands. Yeah.
Yes. She's so great. I'd like to get her on here someday. I think she'd be fun. She described where that character, the drug lady, came from. I won't spoil it. If you want to know, go to Harlan Highway and watch it.
Dim it down now.
His views.
Or
snooze.
Did anybody watch Forged in Fire last week?
Not yet. I haven't watched it yet.
I wanted to see if our guy was back on there. I don't know if he is or not. I haven't watched it.
He has a new place. I don't know. Did he move away from Tawanda?
I don't know.
No, I think when his wife passed, he changed everything up. And that happened in the last year.
Yeah, he's seeing somebody now.
And Chucky season 3 was last week, so it's very good. So I was in Washington now for the new season.
It's pretty good. I like the how they keep the look very consistent.
Even. Yeah,
yeah.
And the actors, like Devin Sawa's back now, and he's playing the president. And last year he was like the headmaster of the school or whatever. And Loki. Anybody watch Loki?
Yeah.
I liked the first episode.
Yeah, literally picked right up where the last season left off, like it was a commercial break.
Yeah.
I mean, jump right back into it and looks cool. I like the way they're taking it. They're also leaving it very wide open to change it any way they want. Yeah.
Oh, that was last week. This week, Big Vape is on Netflix. The Rise and Fall of Jewel. Anybody gonna watch that?
Jewel the singer?
No, Jewel the Jewels.
Yes. No, I haven't watched that.
It's coming on Netflix this week.
I wish I could get Netflix on my phone. I got to figure that out so I can watch shit and get caught up on shit. But anyway, yeah, I want to watch that.
That's a views for me. Frasier comes back this week on Paramount Plus.
Snooze.
You're going to snooze it?
I'm snoozing it based on the trailers. It doesn't look interesting at all to me.
Yeah. It's not getting views either.
It seems very sitcom-y.
Yeah, well,
I think they're trying to make it a sitcom from 20 years ago, and that it just doesn't, you know, flops, I think, is what I've heard.
Is he surly? That's all I care about. And drunk? I like it when he's surly drunk.
I don't know. I might give the first one a chance, but I wasn't into the old Frasier, so I probably won't stick with it. And then John Carpenter's Suburban Screams on Peacock.
Views with a capital.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Views.
These look awesome.
I'm going to watch that. It's got to be better than American Horror Story.
You guys didn't watch the David Beckham documentary last week?
No.
I watched all four episodes. You should watch it. It's pretty good. And it's very nostalgic because it's all, you know, early 90s, you know, late 90s. Anyway.
What if you don't like him?
I guess you wouldn't want to watch it.
I saw the clip where he shaved his head just to get back at the coach and that whole debacle when he came out as a skinhead. Or everybody
was
a skinhead.
Yeah. I had no idea all the shit that he went through over there because he got ejected from that World Cup game. I mean, for a year.
Oh, yeah.
The things that they did to him, they spit in his face in the street. They used to hang effigies of him from bars like they were killing him. When Posh Spice, she's holding her baby at the game, they get 75,000 people in the whole audience going, Posh Spice takes it up the ass. Posh Spice takes it up the ass.
Oh.
Is she just sitting there holding her baby? So, I mean, the documentary is tripped out.
Maybe.
What channel is that on? Netflix?
Yeah,
it's on Netflix. It's just four episodes. It's really good. I mean, if you didn't like him, I think maybe you would like him after you watched it.
I'm going to check that out.
So, surprise, I already mentioned it. Harlan Highway with Sherry O'Terry. There is some Norm talk, whoever put that note in there, and I do agree that O'Terry didn't seem to like him very much.
Yeah, it seemed like she didn't like Norm, just from the clips that I saw.
She was respectful, but she wasn't really elated to speak about him.
Yeah, I don't think they were close when they were on Saturday Night Live together.
Well, did you hear the story she told about when she and Will Ferrell were walking down the hall, what he said to them?
No.
All right, I won't ruin that. You got to watch it and find out. And that might set the tone for why she doesn't like him.
Okay. Mine is American Buffalo. It's a new Ken Burns two-part documentary on PBS about bison and buffalo in America.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'll watch Ken Burns anything.
Yeah.
I watched the whole fucking baseball documentary, even though I'm not a baseball person.
But it was good.
Yeah.
My Steph Hick is, we loved One Piece, and the lead guy from One Piece, I don't know how you say his name, Iñaki Godoy.
Uh-huh.
He's one of the stars of this other show called The Imperfects, this dude told me about, and I started watching that. It came out last year, and it's these four young people who have been shot up with this juice, and it altered their DNA, and it makes them do weird shit. It's a very gory show. Very funny. Very, very funny. Dark humor, but it's called The Imperfects and it's on Netflix.
Oh, I'm going to check that out.
Me too.
Yeah. I loved One Piece.
I got to finish One Piece, so maybe I'll do it after. But
you liked One Piece?
That first episode blew me away. Yeah.
It just keeps getting better and better.
I know. I just got to, and I also got to finish The Continental. But,
I just started The Continental. I watched the first one.
The exploding cock in the most recent episode was very thrilling.
Dustin, wasn't the kind of exploding cock you were hoping for, though.
No. Well, no. Either way, I don't care. Dustin, what's yours?
Let's see. Mine is on Hulu, Stephen King's The Boogeyman. It's one of his short stories. It was one of the Dollar Baby movies. You know, he gives away the rights to his stuff for a dollar for filmmakers to make them, but, you know, to give everybody a chance. And this one was put in motion way before the pandemic. And it just finally got released on Hulu. And it's good. If you read the short story, they really took a good hunk of it and made it the basis for the story, unlike most adaptations that take a little piece and then run their own direction. This one kind of went the way that he was going, and I enjoyed it. It's on Hulu now.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, Steph, anything for Barkville that you would like to let us know about?
Well, you know, this Saturday they have it's called Pickleball for Pups.
Aww.
Yeah. So you can join in this pickleball tournament. It's at the Etowah Mill in Canton. It's Saturday from some clock to some clock. I'm not really sure what the hell time it is. I'll have to look it up. But it's going on, like, we're doing it every other weekend. And then, the finals are at the middle of November or something like that. But my dog, I took her to the Downtown Pooch on Saturday. She got two applications.
Wow.
First applications, the lady was crazy. The second one, we'll see. The people are great, but they want to cat test her. So,
oh, well,
we'll see how she does.
Good luck with that.
She's a vicious dog. I don't know. But she does, like, if things skitter and run, she does tend to run after them. So I don't know.
But usually in those cases, it's the cat's fault.
Well, if the cat is like, because they already have another dog. So if the cat is like one of those badass cats, it'll just like punch a dog in the face. Because, you know, there's a lot of cats that'll do that. She would be like, ah! So.
All righty. Well, we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you to Casper Kelly for coming on with us. And thank you guys.
I love you, man.
Yeah, you too, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Trolley will be back next week.
Yeah, Trolley will be back next week, much to the chagrin of. But he has
as
a new.
As long as he comes as Trolley Foot, I never get upset.
We'll do some more Trolley Foot next week. Trolley Foot will be back. If you guys want to come up with some, and I'm talking to you three, come up with some historical premises, and I'll ad lib all of them with Trolley Foot.
Palestine and Israel.
No, Palestine and Israel. None of that. But anything else?
Okay.
Judea. We could do Judea in Rome. But
you can add some Trolley Foot dialogue to the American Buffalo, because he won't be on that.
Well, that's because he's dead.
I know.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week. Until that, please remember to
keep it canon.